Tina Smith from Mobile has been named the Donegal Lidl Family Carer of the Year for 2025. The awards recognise the remarkable commitment, compassion and strength of family carers who provide essential care to loved ones every day. Tina is with me. Hiya, Tina.
Hi, Greg. How are you?
Congratulations. How does it feel to get this title? Can you enjoy it? Are you embarrassed? What's the story?
And the story is, I knew nothing about it. My husband put me on in for it, and I got the shock of my life.
How were you told, Tina?
Well, I got a phone call, but the time I got to it, I didn't get answering it. And then a text came in saying that I won Carers of the Year. So I texted my husband. He was working, and he told me the story then.
It's lovely, and your story, Tina, is a familiar one in that you became a carer. You didn't necessarily plan to become a carer, but life circumstances meant that you had to step up to the plate. As much as you're comfortable in discussing it, Tina, I don't want to pry. What is your pathway into caring?
Well, with my mother, like, she was diagnosed with multiple myeloma and plasmatoma. It's coming down 15 years. So she was 10 for a year and a half in Letterkenny, and they said it was all in her head. So she decided to go private, so she went to Ballykelly, and she was diagnosed then, so straight to Dublin then. So they done the operation coming out 15 years ago. And she had three ribs removed, and they said it was rare, like a rare kind of a cancer, which she had.
And how has it affected her over the last 14 years, Tina?
She's been up and down. So she's good days and bad days, but it has taken a toll on her now this last year, I'd say, like, because she's been in the hospital. She's just out there now. She has pneumonia there and sepsis.
But the
she
one...
Just got out yesterday
Yeah, go ahead.
But I'm glad to get her home, like, so that's the main thing, like.
The thing about it, with the ups and downs and the good days and the bad days, the consistency there is you, Tina. You know, and of course then you've got your other family responsibilities. You know, you've got your husband who obviously thinks so much of you that he nominated you, but your family as well, other than your mum, you know, the everyday stuff as well as being a carer.
Yeah. You have no time to yourself, really. Like, you're just steady on the go. You need more hours in the day. That's just me, anyway. I would. I'm just steady, flat out from morning to night.
And
that's the way it is, and that's the way it's going to be.
This is how you've been described by Lidl or Lidl. Tina and her family have faced deep loss, yet she continues to put everyone else first, showing remarkable resilience and compassion. She never complains or takes time for herself and is always thinking of others. Her kindness, dedication and warmth are an example to everyone who knows her, and her family describe her as a living angel. It's lovely that I think that you've got this recognition that you so greatly deserve, Tina. And it's important, isn't it, that we recognise not just once a year or in one competition the amazing work that carers do all year round right across the county.
Yeah, amazing people. Only for them, I don't know what people would do without them.
Okay, well, we wanted to bring you on to congratulate you. So congratulations to you, Tina. You richly deserve it. And send our best wishes to your mum, who's in great hands with you looking after her, and the whole family. And we really appreciate your time talking to us this morning.
Thanks very much, Greg, and thanks again.
Well done to you.
And thanks a million.
All right, bye-bye. Tina Smith there from Mobile. She's the Lidl or Lidl Family Carer of the Year 2025, nominated by her husband. Came as a bit of a shock, but I think it's always nice to recognise what carers do, especially if you've become a carer. Right, lots of you talking about roads. Greg, could you mention the back of Errigal Road? It's dangerous at night because there's no markings on the middle of the road. Thank you. Is it recent works or have they faded? I haven't been on that road in a while. But what's going on there? Of course, factor in the potential for deer out on the road, and it does make it quite a dangerous stretch. Listening to Mary about their efforts with the plan for Fulcara, it's great that everyone's opinions, ideas and input is collated and included going forward. There seems to be a sharp contrast in how the planning for Letterkenny is carried out, thinking in particular about the needs, example parking spaces in the Ballymacool area. The opinions of locals who have knowledge of their area seems to be ignored. Moore Lesh and Ober August Lesh on Blan. It means good luck with the work and the plan. How did it get on there? Did all right, didn't I? Thank you very much indeed. Re-traffic congestion. One thing I can't understand is why the government builds their large utility buildings and civil service offices right in the middle of a town instead of outside of it, where property is cheaper and parking is more available. The social welfare buildings opposite Letterkenny Library used to be a very convenient car park before they built that monstrosity of a building, further increasing the traffic congestion. It's a toughie, isn't it? As we've seen over the last number of years, the lies, disinformation that were told to everyone on mainstream media, social media, etc., anyone who tried to say otherwise was hounded. Now it's all gaslighting, trying to convince us that we're being lied to, but it's okay, it's not the government or an official. Another, why can't there be an emergency bridge built across the river? They did it in wartime. A Bailey Bridge. Letterkenny is suffering badly. I've stopped shopping there. The council needs to be held accountable. I know where you're coming from about Bailey Bridges and all that type of stuff, but we're talking, you know, many, many thousands of cars every single day. And I don't think that's going to happen. Rightio, Anne-Marie Dorian McDevitt is with me. Hiya, Anne-Marie. Lovely to chat to you again. How are you getting on?
I'm doing good, Greg. How are you today?
I'm doing good. Now, your mum's birthday recently. Happy birthday, firstly.
Thank you very much.
Okay, to your mum. And as often happens now, people buy scratch cards. They stick a card in the card, so to speak. And you made quite an observation in relation to this.
That's right. As you're very correct there, scratch cards does seem to be a bit of a thing. And she's quite a popular little lady, so she got quite a stash of these. In fact, there were 30 of them. And I went to her house yesterday, and my mum's 83. She celebrated her 83rd birthday. So she said to me, she said, Anne-Marie, have a look through those just to make sure that I haven't made any mistakes. She said, I think there's only one of them that there's money on. So the stash was sitting there, and I went through them. And she was right. There was one with money and it had 1 euro. Like she had said to me, I think there's one with 1 euro. And I was thinking, what? Surely not. 1 euro surely isn't a prize. I thought the lowest denomination was 2 euro, which is pretty low. But I went through it and it was 1 euro. I was gobsmacked. I couldn't believe it. So I put it up on social media. And from the comments that I received, everybody's saying scratch cards, absolute waste of time. Don't buy them, this kind of thing. And I didn't even know that 1 euro was even a prize. I didn't know. I mean, the card was 1 euro. So she said to me, what do I do? She says, do I go to the shop? Is the girl going to open the till and give me 1 euro?
No,
she
you
said,
do
I get another card for this?
That's what people do.
But she said, I'm embarrassed. She said, I'm so embarrassed. I'm not even going to take it. She said, I'm not even going to take it to the shop and get another scratch card. That's how she felt about it.
So,
I didn't know it was even a thing.
No, but of the 30 cards, were they a mixture of sort of the more, you know, I think you can get some that are, you know, 5,
yes.
6, 7, 8 euro. Was it a mixture or were they all the less expensive, lower winning cards?
No, it was a mixture. There was all cash. There was instant win. There was different, you know, different varieties and different, you know, prizes, different denominations. And yeah, so I mean, I have to say, Greg, I'm not a scratch card person. Yeah. I'm not a lottery person. I always keep saying to my husband when we win the lottery, and he's like, Anne-Marie, we don't do the lottery. And I'm like, okay, so that would hamper our chances massively. But so I'm not really that familiar. But I did a little bit of a thing. It put me down a bit of a rabbit hole. And I looked at data from Premier Lotteries Ireland. They are the operator of the Irish National Lottery, and sales from scratch cards and interactive instant wins combined last year, 2024, 315 million euro. That's a lot of dosh.
I think scratch cards, you see, when we talk about gambling on this show, and I'm not trying to spoil anyone's fun, Anne-Marie, the big thing we don't actually talk about is scratch cards. Now, I would say there's people working in retail, and I'm not judging anyone or what have you, but they will see people spending an absolute fortune on scratch cards. And say, for instance, in the all cash gold, it's a 1 in 5.8 chance of winning. You know, like the odds are so narrow, and it's a little bit like fruit machines, which I did have a little bit of an addiction to. I'm not going to lie to you. Back in the day when I was working in pubs in England, I think I was actually addicted to them.
They were everywhere.
Yeah, but you only talk about when you win, right? So, I just got 20 quid out of that machine. You don't talk about the 45 you pumped into it to get the 20 out. And I think scratch cards are a little bit like that. People think people are very lucky with scratch cards, but it would make you wonder how many you have to buy to win that 200 or 300 quid.
Exactly. And I do feel, you know, like, as you say, you know, it is always a gift option when it comes to, you know, if say maybe you've forgotten a gift or something, or you're late with a gift, or, you know, I'll put a few scratch cards in, and everybody's delighted, you know, at the anticipation of possibly winning something, you know. And I just couldn't believe it. I was stunned to see that. As I say, I didn't even know that the prizes were that low to be €1.
Can I ask a question? You didn't actually scratch 30 cards, did you? Because I get a cramp in my that fat part of my thumb just scratching one. And the mess they make.
It was my... No, she did it. My mum did it. It took her a week.
No arthritis.
She's 83.
Anyway.
She set out a few every day and did a few every day. She kind of, you know, she siphoned it out. You know, I'll do 3 or 4 today. And that's what she did. So that was when she had the whole stash sitting there when I went in. And that's why she was doubting herself. She was sure she had got it incorrect.
I can see you walking in and her sitting there like up to the waist in this grey stuff that comes off the cards. You know, what have you been doing this
week,
Mum? What
a mess.
What have you been doing this week,
Mum? It was an absolute, it was a mess because I didn't know. I had seen this grey stuff on the counter over the previous few days, and I was like, what is this? I didn't connect it, and then it all became apparent.
Right, okay, that's shocking, isn't it? €1 out of 30 scratch cards. Now, like, when you talk about odds and winning the lotto, it probably is long odds to have such a low win rate on 30 cards, but still, I think the lotto and lotto cards, and I include me in this, is a bit of a poor man's tax, because it's something we choose to do to try and get out of the, you know, the quicksand of life, right? It's the dream, you know. Millionaires aren't doing it, it's the poor man that's doing it, and it's just another tax on us that don't have much money to begin with. But that being said, I do the lotto now and again. Don't buy scratch cards, a waste of time, I think.
Yeah. I mean, you're exactly right with what you have said. And it's a thing, it's like what may have started as a pastime, as you say, can turn into a bit of a problem and an addiction. And like, nobody says how much they lost on these things. They are saying,
no,
I won 50 quid or 100 or whatever. Yeah. And like, it can accumulate to quite a lot of money down the drain, literally, you know?
Exactly. And it becomes a part of the weekly shop or something, because it is,
That's right.
Is designed to catch you in. All right, Amory, interesting stuff.
Yeah.
Let's see what the listeners think. Have a lovely day, and happy birthday again to your mum. Amory Dorian McDevitt there. Scratch cards, win rates. Her mum got 30 scratch cards for her birthday. There was a winner, €1, €1. And as I say, then the conversation, I broadened it out a little bit too, that I would say there's quite a few people out there that might have a little bit of an addiction to them. Right, going to take a break. It's Wednesday, so Chris Ashmore is going to be in studio shortly. Chris Ashmore is in to talk, well, primarily mobile phones, it seems, but now business news. How are we getting on? I don't have my sheet. Do you have a sheet for me? Not that we do any research or anything on this program. How are you keeping? How's your week?
Very good, yes.
Good stuff. Yeah, any news, any development, any excitement?
No,
any holidays? You into Lanza anytime soon?
Next month.
Lovely. Yeah. Right, Wild & Co. Is this a new Donegal company? The name seems familiar, but maybe I've seen it elsewhere in different areas.
It is new. Good story behind this. Now, it's been set up.
Is this the news? Have you any news for me?
I was at the top. I was going to tell you about the conference first.
Right,
we started with the energy conference.
Yeah, go on. I don't have that.
Yeah.
Oh, right. Okay. Energy conference. Right. Go ahead.
Okay. Now, were you at this conference last year?
No.
Letterkenny Chamber, Causeway Chamber, Letterkenny Chamber, the Northwest Future of Energy Conference. Now, this is a big conference.
Must have done a bad job, because I think I was...
You weren't invited back.
No, I did a... A Maybe I'm too inquisitive. No, I wasn't invited back. I wasn't rebooked for that one.
Well, maybe the invites is in your spam folder there somewhere. Anyway, it's on in the White Horse Hotel in Derry, the 19th of November, and it's bringing together people from all sides of the energy business to. Well, there'll be thought-provoking panels, insights, and a chance for people who have
an
interest in it.
Excellent moderators, I'm sure.
Yeah, and it's one of the big ones in the Northwest. And as we know, there's considerable potential in this part of the world for the green energy projects, and a big shift in the last couple of years, in particular, towards more solar initiatives. We've mentioned on the podcast before, indeed. About the grants, not just for homeowners, but businesses. There's a lot of them availing of the grants. And it won't be too long before, I dare say, most roofs are going to have those solar panels on them. It's going that way. Well, have you got one yourself?
No, I don't. No. They have to close the gap between the grants and the outlay.
Exactly.
You know, and the irony is those that need to complement their power to reduce their bills the most are the least likely to be able to get the solar panels, and that is really just society in a nutshell, really. It's
absolutely.
Like old cars.
Yes,
the older your car, the more it is to tax. You tax it 3 months at a time, you pay a penalty on top of that. You know, it's people who need the hand aren't getting it, and it's going to be people who can afford to bridge that gap between the cost and the grant that are going to have the solar panels on their roofs.
Speaking of bridging the gap, Greg, the difference in the price of your litre of unleaded between north and south with the budget, you'll see now you can pay over 180 for a litre here in Donegal. Do shop around. I actually noticed yesterday a disparity of 14 cent a litre within 2 kilometres. Mm-hmm. In the north, it's about 25 to 30 cent a litre less. So that is significant.
Yeah,
the
euro is quite strong against sterling at the moment too, isn't it?
Yeah, okay. So we're going to see.
I just don't understand it's an open market and people, you know, we were given out, I suppose, we used to give out, didn't we, when every petrol station appeared to have the same prices. So we can't have our cake and eat it. But it does make you wonder whereby a petrol station that's a little bit more remote can charge 182 a litre, and, you know, 20 minutes away, it's 168. Yeah. But I suppose it's an open market. People can charge what they want.
Just one other thing to note, there's a report out today, and the services sector has seen a particular acceleration in growth, according to the latest figures. Not manufacturing, but the services sector is where a lot of the new jobs are being created. Business services, financial services, technology, media. Mm. And as we know, we're pretty much at a full employment situation.
Yeah, statistically, yeah, we are. Anyone who wants a job has a job, effectively speaking. That being said, we have the lowest incomes in the country in Donegal, so that doesn't always tell the full story. Chris, don't be positive. I want to be negative now, but we have to recognise the fact that for some listening, that kind of is grinding. Right, so we get on to Wald & Co now, shall we?
We shall. Now, this is a new company. It was founded by Laura McGarren, who is describes herself a food and fitness enthusiast, and John Duffy of the Future Oak Farm, based out near Churchill, and they have spotted what they feel is a real gap in the market. Many of our listeners will be aware that there's a lot of protein bars out there. Mm-hmm. You see protein on all sorts of labels these days. But a lot of these protein bars are from big manufacturers. You could say they're ultra processed. If you look at the back, there could be things in the ingredients that you may not know what they are. So anyway, they are producing very shortly in a small manufacturing facility in Maharorti venison protein bars. Now, venison, so they're going to be using 100% Irish, wild Irish deer from the locality. Venison is a very high protein meat, low fat. It's going to be a low calorie product, nothing artificial added. They've had support through CoLab, local enterprise office, Enterprise Ireland. They've gone through all the hoops, done a lot of research about the product, and it's going to be on Shopify, and they will be launching it in the new year. And they are in the middle of they've just started, in fact, at the moment, a 5-week campaign to help fund the first production run. And we have a clip here from John Duffy, who talks about how they researched the product.
But the question of clean protein and clean sources of protein was one that was really high, because it was a need that we both felt. Mm. Then when we went out and we surveyed people that were in kind of Dublin and Galway and Cork and as far away as London and Manchester in the United States, we found that this was kind of a universal problem, that people were basically making a choice between the lesser of two evils. It was either a protein bar that they knew was ultra-processed, that they knew they were getting an awful lot of ingredients that they couldn't pronounce. That was part of their consumption. Or the alternative was a chocolate bar. So it was the lesser of two evils. And we saw a gap right in the middle there that we could plug quite effectively. We felt we could plug it quite effectively with this incredibly nutritious, wild, natural protein source in the form of wild Irish venison.
Haven't really heard and I'm not sure how they get their hands on the venison, you know, whether it's through abattoirs or what have you, but it's interesting to see some of that wild venison coming into market, you know?
Yeah, and they did look at the possibility of selling venison locally as well. 95% of the venison in this country that is going through abattoirs and processed is exported. It's not a meat that you see very often out there.
It hasn't really been marketed, right?
No.
You know, it's not been marketed. And yet it is seen as, you know, if you go to a high-end restaurant, you know, venison is seen as a high-end food, but it's not been marketed in a way where it feels, I don't know, accessible as a regular consumer.
And the ironic thing is, we have too many deer in this country. There's a big problem at the moment with wild deer and damage to farmland and crops.
I think the whole culling process, if we can sort of make use of more of those in the food chain, I think people would be more comfortable with it. There's some people are never going to be comfortable with it, but there you go. We have a second clip too.
Yeah, now Laura McGarren here, she explains how it all began from simple beginnings, I suppose.
So it began at the kitchen counter on the farm with a mincer and a dehydrator and a little bit of knowledge and a whole lot of attempts, really. We had created something that we found tasty, that was delicious and served our needs. But it's a different kettle of fish whenever you're supplying a product to the general public. So you need to make sure that it's, first of all, that it's doing exactly what you say in terms of the nutritional profile, but also that it's shelf stable and safe. So we actually worked with the Foodivation Centre in Derry to develop the product. And, you know, generally, whenever it comes to sort of food safety, they want to throw a lot of different chemicals at it. And that was something that we were very strong on going into the development. We want to develop a product that has minimal amount of ingredients in it, but is also shelf stable and convenient. And it took 12 months for us to get there, but we're here finally. And we have a product that has passed all shelf life tests and nutritional testing, delivering 23 grams of protein for 200 calories.
Yeah, I don't understand all of that, but Aaron is mad into fitness and the gym and, PT and all that kind of stuff. And protein is just a word that's in the house now.
It's big business.
But I suppose, too, with you, with the longer distance runs in particular, you'd be conscious of protein intake, wouldn't you?
Yeah. And it's after a run as well, important to get the protein in. Yeah.
Right. So, okay, brilliant stuff. There's much more from both John and Laura from Wild & Co. on this week's Business Matters podcast from Highland Radio, which is available for you, if not now, very shortly on our website, highlandradio.com, and broadcast on Sunday also, Chris.
That's right, Greg, after the 6 o'clock news on Sunday. And if you want to contact the programme, the best way is to email me, and the email address is businessmatters, that's all one word, at highlandradio.com.
Thank you very much indeed. A caller says, would you please announce that there's a black and white collie dog running loose in a field where there are sheep in Lam in Drumfin, Clonbarra area of Falkara. If the owner would please get it before the dog does damage, thank you. So check to see if yours is where it should be. Paddy Farron is in studio with me now, who is a serial entrepreneur. Paddy, thanks for joining us.
Thank you so much.
And we were saying just off air there that you were in before when Sean obviously was sitting in this seat, but we mustn't have had you in for quite some time then.
It's been quite a few years, yes, before. I think the last time I was on Highland Radio here was the week after Sean left.
Right.
So I don't know how long that is.
What's a serial entrepreneur? I was joking beforehand. I was thinking like serial killers. It sounds like you're not good at it, but you're good at it, right? So what is a serial entrepreneur?
I see that question is something that's been through the trough quite a bit and learned what has worked and obviously learned what hasn't worked and then has been able to implement what you actually know at that time to be then effective in what you're actually doing.
You learn, I would imagine, and this is where people become entrepreneurs because they keep going. You would learn a lot from failures as much as you might from success, I would imagine.
It's a terminology that's used quite a bit. I don't go down that road.
Right, okay.
I'm looking at one of my personal biggest pet hates is for somebody to knock themselves.
Mm-hmm.
Rather than see the good in themselves, rather than glass half full, glass half empty, I just see it as, aren't we grateful to have the glass?
Yeah, I know, there's no doubt about that. And we do, self-deprecate perhaps a little bit too much. You're launching the Donegal Men in Business Network, which is really interesting, actually. I think this is a great thing because I've watched on the Women in Business Network and the various women's group and how successful they've been and how they've brought, you know, big businesses, medium-sized businesses, single-person businesses to the fore and all the networking and the series of events. And I have often wondered, you know, where is the Donegal Men in Business Network? So was there an obvious gap there?
Totally. I think we're on the same hum sheet there when we look at it. Some of the female entrepreneurs in Donegal have been amazing. Some of the groups they've done have been amazing. But when you go looking to see where are the men, because men confide in men more, just like females confide in females, it's been able to have that ability to able to say what you want to say in an environment that you trust.
Yeah. And it's also whether you, it's also about, is it not, and maybe networking falls under this umbrella, but it's also about being able to bounce ideas off people. You know, maybe if you are in business, you can always learn, can't you? Or if you're thinking of starting a business, you can sort of get information or support.
Totally. And there's so many great avenues for that in Donegal as well. But I think from my perspective and where I've been in the last 7 years, we're small thinking. We don't think big enough. Like when we look back at, I based everything that I'm doing now on this book. This book is called The Boy, The Mole, The Fox and The Horse.
Yeah.
I don't know if you're familiar with it.
No, I'm not a great reader. I'm not going to lie to you about
it. Well, this book, you can listen to it on YouTube. I'd advise anybody that's listening, whether they're in business or just family life, look it up on YouTube and listen to it. It's the most fantastic book which can be used for business. And I've actually built everything that I've done based on that book.
I'm not trying to sort of pitch the two sexes against each other, right? But do men not have particular weaknesses, but are there things that, you know, we need to work on in terms of maybe if a business isn't as successful as we might want it to be, not going at it again? Or, as I say, we can't generalise, but is there particular things in the male population that you think can be addressed as part of this network?
Totally.
So talk to me through those then.
And it's suppression.
Yeah.
The biggest part of a failure of saying, okay, I did this and it didn't work out, and then we give up. Whereas if it's not good yet, God's not done. So it's a matter of saying, okay, what have I learned from that and how can I implement what I've learned from that rather than giving up? You'll see any of the top entrepreneurs, and I'm mentored by, it's curious, just funny that the last piece you mentioned was around a nutrition bar. I'm mentored by Tom Bellew, which he sold his company for over $1 billion.
Wow.
And his company is Quest. And what he did with Quest was, what problem are you solving? Not to say I've got another bar out there, because there's thousands of different bars. What problem are you solving? So when we think from a business perspective of, there's nobody that hasn't got an idea.
Mm-hmm.
And because everything that we do as human beings, we like to be around other people. Where I've got caught in a trap for me personally as well is, I've become kind of a entrepreneur that works at home. I live in Ballyliffin, I work with clients all over the world.
Yeah.
And it's a matter of being open and receptive to meeting and greeting other people to share those ideas.
But you also need a space, an umbrella organisation to facilitate that, right? So what's your vision of the Donegal Men in Business Network?
The vision is that I can see us creating a billion-dollar companies, euro, whatever currency we're using, in a network of people encouraging one another. Rather than saying, like, okay, I've tried it, it's failed. Okay, what have you learned from that failure and how can you implement something new into that now? Because in a network, everybody needs everybody else. Mm. I need you because you're here giving to a speak to other people in a community that I want to be in.
Mm.
I need you for that. When we leverage what other people have, then the avenue and the cake becomes so much bigger to eat. Mm.
I don't know if it's exclusively male, and I'm sure it's not, but I find it very easy to be devalued by other people. Do you know what I'm on about? Like, and there are people who are very good at making you feel insignificant.
And I love that question.
And that in itself is their skill, because often it's to elevate themselves, right? But I think, and I would have thought I'd have of decent resilience, but in life, it's astonishing sort of how, you know, you can allow yourself to be devalued or feel insignificant at the hands of somebody else.
And I love your question, because I think you're answering it yourself.
Mm. Talk to me a bit more about that.
Because it's your perception.
Mm-hmm.
So the biggest waste of time for me is giving attention to what other people think.
Yeah.
Because it's irrelevant. The greatest battle that we have while we're on this planet Earth, in my opinion, is the battle that we have with ourselves.
The internal battle.
100%.
Being in yourself
and what space are you giving that. Like, I wrote a quote this morning before I come in.
Mm.
I just take time and space to myself. In my mind, if my mind is talking, I ain't listening.
Mm-hmm. So you, in terms of this business network, you've talked about, you know, the ambition of it. But does that mean then that someone who has a business idea about becoming a service provider, a sole trader, or starting and on, you know, that maybe is not with the best will in the world looking to scale to that size, that they wouldn't fit into this network?
And that, again, it's an excellent question, Greg, as well, because you're answering a lot of what I want to get out there. And it's because this network is open to anyone. So because so many people would sit in the back of the room and their ideas, they're afraid to share their ideas because they think it's not big enough. Everybody, no matter what business they're in, had to start somewhere.
Mm.
And it's to give the people that have an idea, whether that's our kids or an entrepreneur that is not happy in employment and some job that they don't want. I was at the dentist yesterday, mm-hmm. and there's a lady in there and she was working in another dentist for 43 years. And I had to laugh because I couldn't speak while I was in the dentist chair. And the woman had said she went home after her first day of work and her husband said to her, I am so delighted to have my wife back.
Mm-hmm.
After 43 years, she was working in an environment that she didn't like or love. You've got to love what you do.
Is that because that person's not putting themselves first? Then they're not they're not sort of trying to satisfy, you know, maybe their ambitions or their wants. That there's some sort of a brand loyalty or something. What's going on there? Why?
I think we get caught in paradigms.
Mm.
We get caught in habits of routine. For me personally, I was an unconscious aware alcoholic. I got into a routine that I needed drink.
Mm-hmm.
Anytime that I needed to drink, I had to get drunk.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I haven't had a drink in 7 years. I lifted a book one day and I said, I'm a non-drinker. And I haven't drank since.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't need any network or any group for that. I just made the decision.
The one pattern, or like we did a feature recent with the DRDC, and I interview a lot of people in business here, and it's astonishing to the amazing ideas. Speaking to a lady who has an eight seater based in Ardrockily Beggs, but has an eight seater Volkswagen and has set up a company where she does, you know, very hands on tours, you know what I mean, of people that come and all that kind of stuff. And another lady who had this vision about yoga with children and yoga amongst adults and all that kind of stuff. But what was amazing with those people, and it was primarily women, it's they made a decision. I'm actually potentially getting there now, but to give up a salary potentially, to back themselves, to say this is my plan, I can make it work, right? And I don't know if women are better than that than men, or it just happens who I be speaking to. But it's this courage to take a chance or a risk, or it, they don't feel it to be a risk. And I think a lot of us have ideas or ambitions, but we can't take that risk. If that makes sense,
and that's a balance. That's a balance.
It's obviously about, a calculated risk, but even a calculated risk, I would struggle with. Does that make sense?
You know, totally. Like, and it's saying you can't just drop everything and have nothing. Mm. That just doesn't make sense.
Okay.
So it's a matter of what can I drop? Like my day starts at 4 a.m. every day.
You're one of them.
I am, and my wife would say to me, "Paddy, you're up early," and it's just routine at this stage, okay. Because I know if I'm up at 4 a.m. I'm 3 hours ahead of most people.
Yeah. Well, come 8 or 9 a.m., you have your day's work done theoretically.
It's not much that.
I know you work beyond that, but, I mean, that's a lot of productivity while I'm in bed.
Again, that's a perception, is it that I'm in work. I don't work. Mm. I have a pastime that I thoroughly enjoy.
Yeah, but you're running a company.
Totally, loads of companies.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it's I enjoy that so much. That I'm doing what I love, like what I can do with AI, and I'll show next week at the event when we're launching on Tuesday night in the Radisson at 7 p.m. What I can do as a non-coder with AI now would blow your mind.
Yeah,
it usually would take me 6 to 8 months to do that. I can do that now in 6 to 7 hours.
Yeah, it's astonishing. And I think AI is a very interesting thing to bring into the conversation, because if you embrace it rather than see it as a threat, you know, it can potentially free up so much more. Look at the amount of time AI is freeing up for you, for example, that you can do with something else. You can apply yourself in a different way.
I totally, Greg, see it as the biggest game changer in my lifetime. Mm. Because when the internet came along, everybody said there'd be no jobs. Without doubt, the internet is the biggest employer in the world.
Yeah, true.
So when we look at it from, it's a matter of looking at everything from a perspective of how you're looking at it and how you're seeing it. AI is going to create more jobs. Sometimes I ring up an odd company and I would ask them, what are they doing? And it's very hard to get through. Oh, we're very busy. There lies the opportunity. Mm. What are you actually busy doing? If I walked into a company now and I said to them, could I review your company for a week? And the first thing I'll ask them is, show me your calendar and show me the amount of hours you have for thinking.
Yeah.
Most companies don't have any time for thinking. One of the greatest advocates for thinking in this county is Jim McGuinness. You can listen. I listen to people's subconscious talk. I don't listen to their voice. You listen to Jim McGuinness when he's speaking, and his players, their subconscious has been drilled into them, their belief that they are the best.
Mm-hmm.
I think their goal last year was to get to the All-Ireland final. I was listening to the players' subconscious. Their minds were saying that they were getting to the final. I never heard any of the players in the interview saying that they had won the All-Ireland.
No, it's interesting, actually, because there, you know, I think, especially sort of at the highest level of sport, it's about, you know, the percentages, isn't it? You know, it's about maybe the 0.5% or what have you. I don't want to fall out with any players or management.
No, me either. Sorry, Jim.
But having been, was in Croke Park, there was a sense that the job was done, and this was almost like the charity shield, if you know what I mean.
And that's all I'm basing it on.
The Premiership had been won, and now we're having
to get to the final.
Yeah, exactly. So, and you could deny that, but you're talking about it. The subconscious. You can't necessarily deny what your subconscious
says. And I think he's become the leader of that in thinking process in our area, in that Jim McGuinness has got first principle thinking. They're his ideas.
Right, listen, I don't have enough time to delve into everything that I would like to. Talk to me about the event, who's invited, you know, what really in the first instance it is.
So it's next Tuesday night in the Radisson, 7 p.m. in the Radisson. I've just come from the Radisson there to get the room. I'm an impulse taker. I'm an action taker. Anybody that feels they want to come to the event, come to the event. I'm working behind the scenes, and I was told yesterday it's impossible to get Jim McGuinness. So, Jim McGuinness, if you're listening, reach out to me. My number is there. I'm happy to speak to you. I'd be delighted if you'd come and launch the event. It's more for the businesses and the people, Greg, that behind the scenes, when it's a Monday morning and there's a bill needs paying and they have nobody to support them. It's not about the success stories so much. It's about the businesses that are small, that are suffering behind the scenes, and they just need a voice that's saying, don't panic. Mm. This is not the end of the world. It's just a business.
All right, OK. And some of that advice actually extends to private, personal lives, not just business lives either.
Totally.
OK, Paddy Farron, so serial entrepreneur, thank you so very much indeed. I'll look on with interest to see how this develops.
And if anybody wants to reach out to me, Greg, my number, I'll happily give it out. It's 086-603-3012. You can WhatsApp me. I'm setting up a group there online as well. It's called skool.com/spark, S-P-A-R-K-K. That platform as well. I was on with the and mentoring 4 years ago with the owner of that platform. Mm. He had 325 people on that platform. Wow. Last week, 18 million people used that platform. Mm. I was there on the call when he started that platform.
Nice. Okay.
So just reach out to me, any guys, if they want, if they're interested.
All right, Paddy, thanks very much indeed. Now, we're on the road tomorrow. We're broadcasting the 9 till noon show live from the Donegal Giving Event in Ongreen on Theatre tomorrow, the 6th of November, as you know, with the show when we're out and about. We'll do all the usual stuff, but obviously also tap into what's going on in the event. It's going to be an incredible one, packed with inspiring speakers, local heroes, community stories, and so much good energy as they officially launch Donegal Giving. So there'll be gifts for everyone going, fabulous food from Yes Chef Catering, plenty of chances to connect, and a true Donegal spirit of giving in the air. If you're interested and you're free tomorrow, registration opens at 9:30 a.m. The event starts at 10 a.m. at Ongreen on Theatre in Letterkenny. As I say, we're there from 9 until 12. So we'll tap into some of the guests that they have lined up already. So looking forward to that. As usual, you'll be able to listen to the show on the radio, and you'll be able to watch it as well. A caller says, the more technology that comes out, the more difficult it is to talk to a human in any business. And as for public services, don't get me started. The funny thing about AI and how it's going to be employed into the future, I use AI quite a lot. I would use it multiple times in the day, not to actually, just for information, to bounce ideas, not necessarily actually to use it as a Google, in inverted commas. I use it all of the time. The advances are so rapid, to be honest with you. I think the customer experience is going to improve because you will interact with AI, which will, to all intents and purposes, deal with you as a human might. So now when you ring someone up, you can't speak to a human. It's one this, two that, three the other. I don't think we're that far away where you ring up a organisation and you interact with the AI and you wouldn't necessarily know it's AI. And they will be able to give you a far more tailored and personal interaction over the phone. And that's the way it's going to be with businesses, strangely. So AI is going to be the solution to the pain in the backside that dealing with companies is. You know, this press 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. And it's only a matter of time now to before companies start putting that into position. And I don't mean like big tech companies like you ring in Amazon. Your local hairdresser, it's not that far away, right, where they will recognise you. They will know what you get done regularly. They'll be able to have access to the appointment book and be able to book you in, schedule in, and treat you like an actual person. And I'm only picking that business as one where you would be ordinarily dealing with a human. As I say, whether it's a year, 2 years, certainly within 5 years, this is how people will be engaging with AI in every single day life, to some point whereby you won't actually know that you've just got off the phone from an AI assistant. A caller says, you can have many great ideas, but trying to get the money to start up without someone taking your idea. Yeah, But I mean, obviously, there's great supports there, like from the DLDC, local enterprise office, and what have you. I mean, they're not in the business of nicking ideas, so you can get supports and tease things out. I don't know. I think if you were going into creating a business like that, I think you might struggle then to sort of engage with people and grow the business. I think you might have to put the guard down a little bit. Councillor Liam Blaney's suggestion for the new bridge is delusional. Does he not care about the traffic heading to the likes of Falkara and Gwydor through Letterkenny, not forgetting quicker access to hospital for emergency services? He has a bridge in Fannad. Okay, it's just one opinion, though. The biggest fear with eating deer is knowing whether it's been treated for TB or tested for TB, but anything that enters the food chain goes through those vigorous testing, by the way. I'd presume that's really quite clear. In Australia, we have the same issue with kangaroos, and it's one of the best, leanest meats you can eat, but people are reluctant to eat it. It's just a psychological thing. I think we'd be all right eating deer if it was marketed to us in a certain way. I don't like the taste of deer, and I've tried it a few different ways, but anyway. Let me see. Gambling. Hi, Greg. Have you ever done a Lotto Quick Pick on the Lotto app? Yeah, I did. I had to generate the Quick Pick random choice 11 times to get 6 numbers that didn't contain sequential numbers. I know they will statistically all numbers are equal in terms of chance, but one of the lines had 6 numbers, 5, 6, 7, 8, 23, 24. I think they have an algorithm set on the app to reduce your chances of ever winning. I don't know how that works. I do know it's kind of interesting that just looking at the numbers that they threw up for you, and those numbers I think could win, is that people often use dates and birthdays and stuff. And how many numbers are there in the lotto? 40-odd or something like that there. But obviously the calendar goes up to 31. So I see lots of people. I don't see lots of people. I have seen people over time focusing on dates, birth dates and all that kind of stuff, but instantly eliminating any numbers over 31. But I don't know if that actually shortens your chances of winning. What about radio gambling? News Talk offer hundreds of thousands. I don't know what that cash call thing is. Is it gambling? I don't know. I've never engaged with it. I don't listen much, so I don't know. But open to the conversation. Right, that's where we leave it on the show today. Thank you so much for listening, for contributing, for getting involved, for watching. We really appreciate each and every one of you. But that's where we leave it for today. So for me, Greg Hughes, and producer, researcher Caroline Orr, assisted by Shannon, we'll chat to you tomorrow morning at 9, live from On Green On.